Hi, ladies, and welcome to the Story Night podcast. I'm Jessica Campbell, and stories are my passion. It's my honor to host this podcast where real women share real stories of real hope. Each episode features one woman sharing her personal story with you. Too often, we fall into the traps of comparison and judgment, but what if we took the time to hear each other's real stories? Let's remember that we all have a story, and our stories matter. We're so glad you've joined us on this podcast journey. May you find hope and encouragement in this episode's story. Hi, ladies, and thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Story Night podcast. We're so glad you're here. If this is the first time finding us, we recommend checking out episode one, where we share about the history and purpose of Story Night, especially for those of you who are kind of wondering, what exactly is Story Night and what does this all mean? So definitely check out episode one. So for these initial Story Night episodes, we are getting to have conversations with the Story Night team because they all have stories, of course, and we just wanted you to get to know them and hear from their heart why they care about Story Night and just get to meet them personally. So our guest for this episode is Lacey, and I'm so glad she's here. She's reached out recently to offer her help to join the Story Night team, and I'm so glad you did, Lacey. Thank you.
Thank you.
Before we share any part of your story, would you introduce yourself to our listeners?
Thank you so much for having me, Jessica. I'm really happy to be a part of this group. I'm Lacey Summers. I live in McMinnville. I'm married to my high school sweetheart for 21 years now, and we have three children, and I run a real estate team.
I'm so excited that we get to hear your story, Lacey. What drew you in to Story Night? What made you, with your busy life, your wife, your mom, you're doing amazing things with your work, but you said you would be willing to pour in some extra time to the Story Night outreach. Tell us why.
Absolutely. Well, I am drawn to relationship and community and any opportunity to connect and in a genuine way. As a younger woman, I had such a desire and wish for older women to be a part of my life. As a newlywed, as a young mom, I was just so hungry for that. And I remember promising myself that someday when I'm an older woman, I promise that I will be that for someone else. And I've just been realizing I'm in my solid 40s now. And in a way, I feel responsible to be pouring back. And again, I don't have everything together, but I know I can. There's people that I can encourage that I would connect with. And I'm still hungry for older women than me who are further ahead in life to learn from them and to be able to access their wisdom and encouragement.
I'm so glad you mentioned that because the woman who originally created Story Night saw that need in our culture that once upon a time, women lived more in this village together, right? And each generation was pouring into the next generation and women were sharing their stories and they would sit and actually talk and be real. And she just saw that that was missing in our society, in our culture, and wanted to create a space for that. So you hit the nail on the head with that one. So Lacey, let's hear your story. You are a small town girl that has done some pretty amazing things and had a lot of growth in that. So where were you born and tell us about your childhood?
Okay. Well, I was born in the Dalles, Oregon, and spent my first 5 years in a very tiny town, Maupin, on the Deschutes River. My parents were married and I have an older sister, 6 years older than I am and still very close with her. So I am from a very small town and during those formative years, then we moved to Portland when I was 5 years old and that was a dramatic shift from rural to urban Portland for kindergarten and first grade. And then we moved to McMinnville. My mom got a teaching job in Amity, and that brought us to McMinnville. So ever since second grade, I've called McMinnville home other than my college year. So I had a very good upbringing with stability, a loving family, and I would describe myself as very shy, But I had a playful side. I loved school. I was athletic. So soccer was a big part of my life. And I didn't have a huge circle of friends, but usually one or two at a time. A big moment for me was actually in fifth grade when there was a drama section in our class, or maybe it was all of fifth grade, was putting on a play. It was called Snowerella, a combination of the Snow White and Cinderella story. And I was not a leading lady type of person. And I remember when the teacher chose me to be Snowerella in that play. And it was shocking to me. And it felt so good. And I think it really pushed me to be seen and to get used to that or to enjoy that moment. And looking back, preparing for this podcast, thinking about key moments, it was really a key moment for me as a child.
I hope that encourages teachers, parents, coaches, anybody. Those little decisions that might seem like no big deal can really change the trajectory of a child's life.
Yes.
What an amazing gift that your teacher gave you and gave you that opportunity to be seen. Because looking at where you are now, that really was kind of that first moment
Right.
for
And
you.
as a mother too, when one of our kids talks about something like that, it's easy to dismiss it as just not a very big deal, but those moments are key in their lives and shaping them for who they'll be.
Absolutely. Such a neat thing. When we look back over our stories, and listeners, I encourage you to do this. I mean, you might not ever be sharing your story on stage in front of 200 or 300 women, maybe never even, share on like a podcast platform, but even just sharing your story with your family, taking that time to look back over your life from birth to present day, suddenly moments that maybe seemed insignificant at the time, you recognize had such a purpose, and you see the threads that tie all the chapters of your life together. And what's the meaning of that? And what can other people glean from that? How can you pour into the lives of somebody else with the lessons you've learned and the experiences you've been through? One of my favorite phrases is, don't waste your suffering. And for those of you that have maybe had a lot of trauma or tragedy in your life, just thinking about that too. So you had this pivotal moment as a fifth grader, and that kind of prepares you then for getting into those middle school and high school years, which can be all sorts of emotions and
Right.
experiences. What were your teen years like?
I really enjoyed my teen years for the most part. I mean, all the things that everyone goes through were no exception. But one of the reasons I am passionate about athletics and sports teams for my kids is because I think they make such a difference in helping middle school and high schoolers get through that time in a healthier way. It makes it easier to have friends with other healthy kids, and it's just a good use of time, and it teaches so many life lessons. So I can't underestimate how important being involved in sports was for me. And I was also very active in my church youth group, which was very grounding for me. That's where I was getting really great adult mentors in my life and where I formed some of my closest friendships.
Right. Including a very special relationship, right?
Yes. So a cute story is my senior year at the church harvest party, we were playing games, and the next game is going to be the three-legged race. And I had never had a serious boyfriend at that point. Not that I didn't want one, but I just wasn't really attracted to high school boys and didn't know any older boys either. I just planned on, oh, in college, I'll probably meet someone. Well, at that harvest party, we're doing the three-legged race and we're supposed to find a partner. And I spied this young man, Jonathan, over in the corner just hanging out. And I thought, well, he looks athletic, like he would be good at the three-legged race. And I want to win. So I went over and I asked him to be my partner. And he said, yes. because I am very naturally competitive. So he says that he was attracted to me because I told him, you know, if we lift up our blindfolds a tiny bit, then we can see our feet and make sure like we really lock in. So I was kind of cheating, which, yeah, that's bad. But anyway, he liked that competitive spirit because he's naturally competitive. So anyway, we killed that race, we won, and that's how that started.
I love that story, and it's sweet and it's cute and it's funny, and yet it's also a picture of something much deeper, really, when you think of who do you want to do life with? And you still have the one leg that's like fully independently yours, and so does your partner, but together you've tied a leg together. And so it's this beautiful picture of we're tied together and we're doing life together and we need to be in sync to make this work. And to win, we've got to be in sync. But you still don't lose yourself completely. You know, you're still you. You still have your other leg. I don't know. I feel like that could be a whole, we could do a whole
That's
podcast on that.
so true, and which we'll get into later, but the reinventing of each of us multiple times through adulthood, that unity that starts at the beginning, it's possible to reinvent yourself and support your spouse in changing careers and growing and still stay united and have a great marriage.
Yeah, such good points. Well, let's get you from meeting this man at this three-legged race to how you ended up marrying him.
Okay. So I did leave for college after graduation, was committed to going to college and graduating. I went to Santa Clara University in the Bay Area, and we actually dated long distance for 3.5 years.
Wow.
And that was very difficult. I graduated early, and in December of my senior year, we got married on Valentine's Day, February 14th. It was a week after my 22nd birthday. And then in June, we went back to Santa Clara and I walked for the graduation ceremony.
Wow, that's a lot of big life events in a short time.
It was very exciting.
Now, was he in Oregon during that whole time?
He was living here in McMinnville and working for a family hardwood flooring construction business.
So far in your life, everything has sounded pretty solid. You know, no major tragedies, no major traumas, some life lessons, some growth experiences, right? But like you said, between your family and the relationships and maybe your church group, all these things gave you a really solid foundation. And now you're starting your career and being a wife.
It was a very sweet time of being young, married, no kids. We enjoyed that a lot. And then we had our first baby, and that was in 07. And it's interesting. I remember being at a church service, and it was during the worship music time. One of the songs was about, do you have faith not just in the good times, but in the trials? And I remember saying to God, Lord, when the trials come, I will have faith. And it was a moment, because just a short time later, the 08 housing meltdown happened. My husband was laid off. We had a 3-month-old baby, and it was the start of him going into a new career in law enforcement, plus being unemployed for a period of time. And so that was our first challenge. Him starting his career in law enforcement was very stressful. It was also exciting, because starting something new is both exciting and stressful, but we really viewed it as something we were going after together. He could not do that job without a wife supporting him. And I think a lot about the law enforcement community we were a part of for 15 years. And it's a very unique experience. It's a whole family sacrifice and effort.
I do think that's definitely one of those lifestyles and communities that the outside looking in doesn't really understand. You can imagine, okay, yeah, you might be worried about your spouse all the time. They're in danger, or your life's your schedule's different than a Monday through Friday 9 to 5, and all of those things. Besides maybe some of the fears or anxieties and tricky schedules, is there anything else that people just don't know?
Yes, most would assume, oh, you're worried that something will happen to them at work. Well, that is a concern. There's danger involved. The biggest challenge is how working with the portion of the community that law enforcement has to interact with on a daily basis and the trauma that they're responding to, it affects them. Police officers, they are far more likely to commit suicide than to be killed in the line of duty. That is actually a very low percentage. The number one cause of death is suicide.
Wow.
And domestic violence is a huge issue. It changes them. It is traumatic and very hard. And plus, you have the shift work. I mean, just remember how you, if you're a mom, how you and your husband are those first months of a newborn baby when you're sleep deprived and how you're grumpy and it's really hard and terrible. Well, that's shift work.
But
And
all the time. It's
all the
not
time. All the
like there's
time.
a light at the end of that tunnel.
No, or having a beautiful newborn. So there's a lot of challenges. It's not just, oh, I hope he's comes home safe tonight.
Thank you for, I don't know, just pulling back the curtain and letting people hear a little bit of the reality and just being vulnerable to share that. And now I know at some point you launched back into career mode. At what point did that happen and what did you do?
When Brooklyn was born, my oldest, I worked part-time from home doing marketing work for a real estate company. And I did that for 9 years, just being able to have my foot in the door. I enjoyed working. I enjoyed being able to contribute a little bit to the family financially. I was still couponing and trying to save money as much as possible. So me just earning a little bunny, a bit of money made a big difference to our family. Fast forward 9 years, and we had three children by that time. When my youngest was about a year old, I felt something changing inside where I was ready and just wanting to get back into the workforce more. And I was familiar with real estate because I did marketing for agents, but I knew it was an all-in type of job, not just a hobby or on the side. If I was going to get into real estate, I was going to go all in. So I did make that decision. And in 2018, I got my license and jumped in full time. That was at the same time Jonathan was still in law enforcement. So it was a very busy time. It required his support of me. So we were trying to support one another. It was kind of a survival mode period of time for about 5 years while my business was growing. And I mean, I was working 60, 70 plus hours a week. We're raising three kids. He has a stressful career. But the benefit of that is the business grew and it became a viable option for him to leave law enforcement. I'm not here to tell his story, but our stories are together. So he took a couple years to really consider if that's what he wanted to do. And by 2022, he did leave law enforcement and start his next path, reinventing himself. Each of our career changes, it's us deciding together because it's too hard to take on a new goal that big and take on risk with trying something new unless you have that support. Now, it doesn't mean it's easy, and I won't say we were, perfect at that, but we muddled our way through and found a way to make it work.
Yeah, those are big shifts, especially just juggling parenthood also in the middle of that. You mentioned earlier the desire to have older women speak into your life. And now that you have that opportunity. So if you were looking at another woman, maybe in her 20s or 30s, who is in a similar life stage, just where you need 80 hours in a day, but they're only 24, and you're juggling everything and you're trying to keep your marriage strong and raise children and figure out career choices and balance the budget, all that. From your experience, is there something you would want to say?
Yes. I think as a young married and a young mom, I needed the voices of older women so that I could understand that hard times doesn't mean something's wrong. It just means that that's part of life. And receive the encouragement to process through it. And I know there's exceptions to that rule, but what helped us was being a part of small group Bible studies so that we could be around older couples and hear about their experiences, or intentionally seeking out someone older to meet with from time to time. I remember talking with one older woman when we were newlyweds, and she said that the marriage that you have 20, 30 years in is something that's developed and takes time to earn. And comparing that to a young marriage where there's still a lot of growth, like it just doesn't come automatically. So the issues that maybe that are a struggle, it's normal to have that. It doesn't mean there's something really wrong or that means it's a bad marriage. It's just that's kind of the natural process of refining and growing together over time.
I appreciate you talking about some of these things because very often women will say to me, I don't have a story. And what they mean is, I've never been abused, or I've never had cancer, or I've never, what, fill in the blank with whatever topic you consider to be very big or very traumatic or a big tragedy. And they interpret that to mean that they don't have a story. As if the only people who have stories are those who have gone through something that is very intense or shocking. And that's not true. Everybody has a story, no matter how quiet or simple your life is. You have a story. Your story doesn't have abuse or cancer or some of those big, heavy things, but it doesn't mean you didn't go through some really hard times and have to navigate and figure out how to make a marriage work and parenthood work during big changes and financial stressors and all of these things. So I'm just so grateful that you are sharing your story. I think it's important for women, regardless of what their life has been like, to believe that they have a story and that their story matters. Yeah.
And just like it's not healthy to compare success, it's also, I don't think, healthy to compare pain or suffering. So
Yes.
obviously the pain of something dramatic is terrible, but so is the pain of suffering from something that is maybe hard to talk about, or something that is more of a relationship pain or just a lifestyle pain is still very real.
Right. So as you look back over your story thus far, right? Your story is still going. But as you look back over your story thus far, are there some key life lessons that maybe we haven't talked about that you'd love to share with our listeners as a form of some encouragement?
Some of the life lessons I'd love to encourage people with is that it's okay if you don't understand why unexpected turns happen or painful things have happened. I don't need an explanation from God for why something has happened, but I just really try to trust Him anyway. Another lesson is that I'm trying not to play small. I want to just be who I'm designed to be. I used to be very shy and avoid attention. And, now I'm plastering myself across the internet. And I try not to think too much of that about it because it does feel uncomfortable. But I don't want to avoid being fully me. And then whether it's trying to grow a business or trying to have a healthy long-term marriage, I believe a lot of it is just having resilience and keep going. Hard times doesn't always mean there's something wrong. It just means you need to keep going.
Lacey, I so appreciate you sharing these life lessons, and I think they're so relatable for anyone. And there's one other point I wanted to touch on before we wrap up our episode. And I'm just thinking all the way back to the story of the three-legged race. And for anyone who's running that three-legged life race with their spouse, and challenges come up. It's one thing to win. You can win easily when you're peeking through the blindfold and it's all a flat land, right?
I wish we could do that in real life.
Right. But what in real life, sometimes you're fully blindfolded and you cannot see. And oh my gosh, then there's a tornado or there is a mountain or there's a ice or whatever comes up where you think there is no way, there's no possible way we can make it the distance with our legs tied together. And that's when so many people say, hey, we might need to take this rope off or this tie off. We need to separate our legs in order to get through this, in order to function. And maybe we'll tie our legs back together in, 6 months or a year, or maybe we'll just be done. So I was hoping you could speak to that and any encouragement to stay the race. Before you answer, I do want to give a very important asterisks here. Ladies, if you are listening and you are running a three-legged race with somebody who is abusing you, whether that is physical, emotional, financial, verbal, any of that, that is a different story. We're talking about marriages where there is love and respect, but you're going through really hard things, and there's not abuse is not a part of the story.
Absolutely. I love that you shared that, Jessica. Raising kids, it's probably always been hard, but it's really hard right now. And almost everyone reinvents themselves during their adult years with career changes. And there's just a lot on all of our plates. So it's impossible to get along all the time and to even be on the same page on a lot of things. So I would just share encouragement that it usually gets better with time. I am just proud and happy that we have survived through some really big transitions in our life. And now there's some new richness there and beauty, but there were times when we could have easily stopped. So I am glad that we didn't and that we can enjoy the time we're in right now.
Such valid points. Thank you again, Lacey, for taking time to share your story, to open up, to be vulnerable, and really introduce yourself more than the 1 minute introduction, right? For so many women, that's all we ever get. We get that surface level introduction, and we never know the deeper story. We never know some of the things that we go through, maybe the joys we've had, but also the trials.
Well, thank you for having me, Jessica. I really appreciate it.
It's been so fun. Ladies listening, if you are within driving distance of McMinnville, Oregon, we would love to see you at our upcoming live Story Night event. And this is a place where 200, maybe even 300 women are going to gather in the Grand Ballroom on 3rd Street, downtown McMinnville, for a free night of food, a little live music, a chance to just connect and build community and hear one woman share her life story. This time we get to hear from Bethany Palacios, and her life began as an orphan in West Africa. She is now Miss Black Oregon, and you don't want to miss her inspirational story. So we would love to have you there. We'd love to meet you. You get to meet Lacey and all of the other ladies on our amazing Story Night team. We hope that this story blessed and encouraged you, and that you come back next time for our next story. And until then, remember, you have a story, and your story matters. And you are not alone.